locked in. I try to come in on the same beat every time. Not that you guys would know that because it's piping through here.
But, very expertly done, I'm sure.
Well, you know how we roll. So expert, you know, this expert recording studio, high-tech recording studio that we're rocking right here. It's GloucesterCast 232.
What? 232? Oh, my God. Wow.
I can't believe it. It's we have very exciting stuff. We're in the heart of summer right now. I was thinking about this. Yesterday was one of those days. This past week has been one of those weekends, those quintessential Gloucester weekends where the temperature's just, if you had your top down and say you had a Warren Wah Auto Group convertible.
That would be a Porsche.
A Porsche.
A little
that's
Porsche.
What I'm alarm right now.
Is there such a thing?
If you had one of those, you would be so comfortable. It's like you wouldn't be too hot or too cold. Those evening nights on a convertible on this time of year are magic.
Wow.
And like when 20 years from now and you look back on what was the perfect evening, like this is the time of year we get those perfect Gloucester evenings.
That's true. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue skies and sunsets and just gorgeous.
Gorgeous. We're going to go around and introduce everybody. Well, you're going to introduce yourselves. Go ahead.
I'm Nathan Wilson. I'm the artist in resident at the Gottman Artist Residency, and I'm their first fellow. And I'm working today with the Ocean Alliance. And we have
Mark Hayes. How do you do?
Okay, are you here for support? Do you have anything to say?
I'm here to support. We're supporting Nathan and what he's doing and how he is exhibiting through his collection of pollution. He's going to create a sculpture on our site at the paint factory.
I know a place where you can get a lot of cigarette butts. I know just a place.
Don't mean to laugh; it's a serious problem. But
it is,
you're a funny guy.
It is. It's just a lot of background right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. I'm Sedalia Schwartz, marketing director for Lion Wah Auto Group. We're going to be talking about the Bluefin Blowout.
And I am Warren Wah, and I'm the co-owner and managing partner of the Lion Wah Auto Group. And I do whatever Sedalia wants me to do.
You show up.
Yeah, I show up.
Yep, there you go.
Entertain.
There you go.
Stay out of the way.
There you go.
Ken Reel, CEO, Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce. We are going to talk about the summertime fun and do a quick license plate update.
And Sarah Young, president of the Chamber Board this year and director of development for Schooner Adventure.
Wow, many hats. Many hats.
Hi.
Schooner Adventure just came back into town, right?
Yeah,
it's been on like a tour.
We did. We did an East Coast tour starting with Sail Boston and then up to Portland for Schooner Fest and then Booth Bay for Windjammer Days. And the crew made it back just in time to do a fireworks cruise on July 3rd.
Oh, wow.
And we started our Gloucester season.
You know what's really cool about the adventure? What's cool about the adventure is that our other schooners, which I love dearly, you know, the Lannans are very close to me. I love the people from the Lannan.
And we love the Ardell. We love Burnham's and the Ardell.
Yeah, and we have a new schooner. But the what was the new schooner's name?
Strombus.
The Strombus. But what I love about the adventure is that whereas the folks on the Lannan and the Ardell are here and they have to make money to their small family businesses. The adventure is going off and is a representative of our city, which is really nice. You know, spreading the word.
Absolutely, we love carrying the city flag to all these different parts. It's
very cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And Kim is here.
Hello.
With some big updates. Big updates. Plovers and
Human babies.
A lot of baby talk. Human babies and baby plovers. No.
I don't think my family likes it too much when I talk about when the baby plovers are here in relation to the human baby coming.
There's a lot going on there. It's a lot. You've been busy.
Yeah.
But we're going to start out. We're going to talk to our friends from the chamber about, we're going to run down this particular week. This particular weekend, one of my favorite events of the summer, the downtown Gloucester Block Party, which...
They rock.
I love the fiesta. This is a whole different vibe, though. This is such a family thing downtown. How did the chamber basically take it over now?
The city asked us actually last year to partner with them, so this is our second year in doing that, and we've got a great relationship with the mayor and her team, and we've got wonderful promotion up around town, as you probably have seen, with the big sign over St. Peter's Square. We put another sign up on the Americold fence down by Harbor Loop, and we're about to hit the papers, hit the social media. So yeah, it's been a great partnership. It's a tremendous amount of work, but also so much fun, as you say, Joe.
That's this coming Saturday night.
It's July 15th, and it probably is one of my favorite events in Gloucester.
Yeah.
It's like a homecoming, right?
It really is. You get to see everyone. We're really excited this year. Short and Main, Jalapenos, and the new restaurant, Italiano, are all going to bring the tables and chairs out onto the street so you can come
That's
enjoy dinner, drink, right out, and people watch. We've got some great entertainment. There'll be music. And not only will the stores be open, but we also have some of our great local nonprofits that will be out there. Schooner Adventure is going to have some their table up. We're going to bring up the we have a new dory that was built by the Lowell's Boat Shop, and so we're going to
the dory or the gig.
The dory.
Oh, I didn't know there was a dory.
Yeah.
I just found out about the gig as they rode past the dock the other day, the blue one.
Yeah, no, we've had three dories made for adventure that help us tell the history of dory fishing.
Is the dory on the adventure, and then you lower it over the side, or is it more of a
eventually a little more storytelling?
Okay.
But anyway, we'll have that at the block party, so come find out about it.
There you go.
The actual dory will be there.
The dory will be there.
Wow, that's so cool.
Lowell's Boat Shop is supposed to be one of the oldest dory makers in the, I guess, the world or something, right? They have some crazy history.
It is
going back into the Someone says, I think Gino said 1700s.
Yeah,
amazing. So what else is the chamber? What else is going on with the chamber?
Want to do an update?
Sure, absolutely. I have to back up a little bit. We're going to get to events, but the chamber just completed their membership drive this year, and so I have to say we are thrilled to report that we are almost at 1,000 members, which makes us one of the largest chambers in Massachusetts, and really just helps us be able to run all these programs. It makes our services that much stronger. So welcome to all our new members.
You're yelling at somebody down there.
Promise.
So Ken, so what else is happening?
Well, we have our big fundraiser is coming up actually next Thursday, the 20th. Sarah, you want to give a little update on that?
Sure, I'd love to. So this is actually our 30th annual auction, and we're really excited this year. We're changing the format. Those of you that have come in the past, you remember we'd have 100 items in the live auction and 120 items in the silent, and we're really changing that format. We have some really... So we're only going to do 30 live auction items, really great auction items, trips to Tuscany, sports tickets, excursions out on the water, and this is called the Love Cape Ann Auction. And so really all of our items are trying to highlight why we all love Cape Ann.
So how do people bid on the other auction items that are not going to be live auctioned?
So we'll also have a silent auction there that night, so a lot of the other items that are donated go into a silent auction. And then later in the fall, we're also going to do an online auction, so be watching for that. So a lot of the things that maybe you'd normally see at the live event will be online. And we're also this year highlighting our mission and who we are as an organization and all the things we do in the community. We have a couple community leaders coming to speak, we're really going to focus more on fundraising so that the chamber can bring more of the services that people come to.
I can say this as a former board member and person that participated with the chamber. These events, like the downtown block party, like all these events, they take an incredible amount of manpower and woman power, whatever it is, to get it to happen. And as a community, oftentimes that gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you guys will you know, speak for yourselves, because if you don't speak for yourselves and remind people how much
they're not gonna
you know, people are just like, oh, it just happens, magically, yeah, you know, all this shit happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
really, so
to get it out there, and so yeah, it's gonna be a fun event. July 20th, and then I think we jump into the summer with
events. Yeah, just quickly on that. So the chamber event can be seen more at capebendchamber.com, our mm-hmm. website, and we actually have 7 community leaders, and that'll be kicked off with the mayor. And then 6 other leaders from around the community talking about everything that the chamber does for this wonderful region. So, quick rundown on other summer events. We go right into August. We have about 8 wonderful events in August. Many of those are the chambers, some are not. Starting with the 5th of August, we have Festival by the Sea in Manchester. That's Manchester's biggest festival. We'll see a couple thousand people there. We have over 100 vendors that are signed up. It's an arts and crafts fair with great music at 2 different stages and lots of great food. Also on the 5th, we've got Country Festival in its 2nd year. That's Ringo's, of course. That looks to be like it's really going to be a big event, especially over time. The following weekend, we have the 2nd block party, that's the 12th, and the Blues Festival. And then we also have the Sidewalk Bazaar in there. And then the following weekend,
go back. All 3 things, all in one day: the Blues Festival, the Block Party, and
the Sidewalk Bazaar is actually the first weekend in August. So that's Thursday through Saturday, okay, around August 5th. So there's 3 events that weekend. The following weekend, we have the Block Party and Blues Festival. The following weekend, we have Waterfront Festival. That's the 19th and 20th. That'll be the biggest event on Cape Ann. We'll see 20,000 visitors and locals. Yep, Stageford Park. It's 2 days. This year we're bringing lobster back,
woohoo,
to that event. So the chamber hasn't done that in several years, but we've got a wonderful vendor who is going to bring us lobster, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
You mean cooking lobster?
Lobster.
What was the Schooner Festival? That was August 19th and 20th?
And that's the Waterfront Festival on the 19th and 20th, okay, Stageport Park. And then we wrap up the summer with the culmination of the Schooner Festival. And so that's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend, and that's our 3rd block party on September 1st. So, too much information.
If you go to the website, it's all laid out for you.
It's all laid out. CapeBandVacations.com.
And every weekend, every week, it's that time of year. You're crazy not to visit the website and to be in the know what's happening. We also have another great event coming up, which is the Bluefin Blowout.
Yes.
It just gets bigger and better every single year. Sedalia and Warren are here to talk about that. It's at Cape Ann Marina. What's the date on that one?
It starts July 27th, and it goes 27th, 28th, and 29th. 3-day event on the water at the Cape Ann Marina.
There's a lot. You guys, can you run down some of the... So some people might think, if you haven't been down there, it's for a bunch of old white guys. You know what I mean?
It's a bunch of
old white guys to just hang out. But really, there's a family component to this. There's a lot of different stuff happening, right?
It is. It's huge family, huge community. We're in our 6th year, and we're really exploding it, turning up the volume this year. We have a ton going on. So the first night on the 27th is really our welcoming to the captains. And getting them all situated for the event with, you know, rules and all of that good
stuff. How many
boats
this year?
We're going to go to 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How many was it in the past?
Last year we had about that many as well.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we're really trying to get to the 50 mark again this year. So on the 28th, we started up with a family fun day. So from 1 to 5, we have a ton of games, watermelon contest, harpoon throw with noodles, not actual harpoons. And a lot of family fun time throughout, live entertainment. And then on Saturday, we also on Friday have a Mini Cooper rally that's going to be going there in the evening.
You gotta have that Mini Cooper that floats.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, we did have that one year. We're not having it this year, but we have other surprises that you'll find around. And then on the Saturday, we're gonna have a brunch that Tono's going to be supplying, you know, all the wonderful omelets and waffles for.
I want to go.
Anthony is such a good. I mean, there's a. I say, you know, there's certain people that come into the town and they make an impact right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Anthony Catarano is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. He's one of our big supporters, and we're really lucky to have him as part of this this year, as well as last year and years
is
past.
Is he a tuna fisherman himself? Because the name
he's
of the restaurant is Tano, so he's
actually
himself.
Placed in it once or twice, and I think he got knocked off, and he had over 600 pound.
Wow.
Tuna.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, as you know, Anthony's a big supporter of the tournament, and he'll be competing again this year, and hopefully, he'll be on the podium again.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Is Stevie Corbett doing it? The Osprey?
Yes. I believe I saw
Stevie.
his boat name there.
Yeah.
He's our neighbor. He's the sweetest guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And he invented Chum Cutter.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
right,
that's
right,
right,
yeah,
that's
right.
And Miss Fern is the defending champion, and they're coming back. So John Meade. Yeah.
Miss Fern was the boat that remember they drove the boat up on Easter on near Mother's Ann Rock, and I had the photos. I had to climb out on the rocks.
That was them.
Overnight, the boat was high and dry.
Oh yeah, I remember.
That was like 6 or 7 years ago.
I heard about that.
You should see the pictures. It's crazy.
I had just started writing for the
Beaker.
Blog.
Yeah.
They call him Beaker.
Yeah.
Good guys. Really nice guys. Warren, how did you get involved in this?
Well, Drew Hale, who oversees the event for us, is my cousin. And over holiday dinner, 2011, he said, "How would you like to do this?" And, it was pretty interesting. And thought it was an opportunity. And not just to market my dealerships, but to be part of,
You're an avid fisherman yourself.
I am, yeah. I'd like to say I'm an avid giant tuna fisherman, but most of the time I'm a spectator. So we put it together the first year, and, he did a heck of a job. And so we talked to him this year about our involvement and trying to help him out more, because he's got a thriving construction business, and Sedalia and I have done the marketing, primarily Sedalia, and I mean the sponsorship is amazing what we have involved, and this all benefits the Alzheimer's Association.
Okay.
So all the auction items that we'll sell and some of the excess revenue will go to the Alzheimer's Association, as it has for the last 2 years.
Just lost my dad to Alzheimer's not long ago. With a long bout. It's nasty. It's so nasty. Every family's got their stuff, and every kind of disease or issue has their own, someone dies suddenly or bout with cancer,
there's not too many things rougher than Alzheimer's.
I don't know. It can't take away all the pain is pain, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, for the work you guys are doing.
Can I ask where are your dealerships? Like, what are your dealerships and where are they?
Well, the corporate name's Lionwaugh Auto Group, and we are BMW of Peabody and on Route 114, and we have a mini dealership next door, Acura of Peabody, Land Rover out in Route 1, and Jaguar right next to it. And then up in New Hampshire, we have a Porsche and Audi dealership known as Porsche and Audi of Nashua, and another mini dealership in Bedford, New Hampshire.
Wow.
Luxury Auto Group. They shouldn't just say Lionwaugh Auto Group. It should say Lionwaugh Luxury Auto Group.
Thank you.
It's the glossy magazine of auto dealerships.
It sounds
like it. It is. No, really. I mean, they're very professional. Everything's there is top notch, professional, white glove service. Like, you go in there and they, it's not like going to your Toyota dealership. Let's put it that way. You're getting taken care of at his joint. Yeah. So Sedalia, more stuff. Tell me more.
More stuff. Yeah. So in addition to the Family Fun Day, which is family fun, friendly for all ages. We were on Saturday, right? Saturday
yep.
event. So we have a cornhole tournament this year, which is really fun. There's going to be a total of 32 teams max that we can have.
Is there sign-ups for that or show up?
There are sign-ups for that. We prefer sign-ups so that we can know exactly how many people are playing. So all of that can be found on bluefinblowout.com. And so there will be two prizes. First prize is $400, $200 for the second prize.
Ooh.
Yep, so a little bit of fun on Saturday. And then obviously we're waiting for that giant tuna to come in as well. So when that happens, watch
big
out.
Spectacle.
Big spectacle.
Yes. Big spectacle. Big show.
I've been there. It's really awesome watching the boats come in.
I've got to tell you, the most nervous thing
when
can
there has
be that first fish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they'll call in and say, we've got one coming. You know,
you can exhale.
Now you can drink.
You can exhale. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We had one year we didn't catch a tuna.
Yeah.
But the captain said it was one of the best tournaments they've ever been to. So, I mean, it's just a real good family event, and we've expanded upon it. And I'd like Sedalia just to mention some of the corporate sponsors because they're – are some significant ones and local ones too.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Just for the cornhole tournament, just to mention Fahey Construction, which is local, they're a sponsor of that event. And then Ipswich Bay Cornhole League is running that that event.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
I didn't either.
Love it.
I'm so glad that there is because I know nothing about cornhole and definitely screw it up.
It'd be hard to screw that up, Sedalia. Come on, there's a whole entire thing.
No, there's a lot that goes into it.
Okay,
into it.
All right.
I'm learning, and we have gotten registrations for that. And you should hear some of the names for the teams. It's pretty creative. We'll leave that out of the podcast.
Yeah,
but,
family show.
The sponsors for our event, and Warren's right. We have to mention them because without them, this couldn't be made possible. Lifewear Technologies is one of the major sponsors. They're going to be having a Winnebago on site, and as part of their corporate identity, they have the U.S. curling team, so they're going to have a curling pad out.
That's what the thing,
yeah,
the brooms
really popular, the brooms.
You'll be
stuff.
Able to do that.
It's blowing up. Curling is blowing up. You didn't even know that, did you?
No,
blowing up.
I actually did know that. I saw some of it on the Olympics.
It's blowing up. So they're going to have that next to their Winnebago throughout the whole tournament. So that's going to be a lot of fun to try out. By the Sea Sotheby's, another huge sponsor of this event. Any million-dollar estate that you see, you know, they represent. They are North Shore's premier real estate company. So we're really excited to have them. Tono and Anthony, we already spoke about them. Tono's been tremendous in helping us out this year. The Conley Prince P Group, Morgan Stanley. We also have Glass Tech Boat Service, which is local here to Gloucester.
Jeff Wilkins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
KPM Marina, of course, is where we're having the event, so they're also a sponsor. Long's Jewelers, which is they're a huge sponsor this year. They're going to be creating some nautical watches for the first, second, and third place winners.
Ooh.
Yeah, really nice stuff. Maui Jim, great sunglasses, Polarized, and Three Lantern Skip, which is local to here, right in your back door. An amazing, amazing sponsor, just always so giving, and all hands on deck with Skip and his crew, so we're really fortunate to have them. Extra Tough, which I see you have your Extra Tough boots on, Jeff.
I am a fan.
I am too.
I used to wear bogs. Bogs would separate, so what they are, they're waterproof, like deck boots or industrial boots, you know, and they would, the bogs would separate, the seams would let go and stuff, even though they were neoprene and stuff like that, and I would get like 6 months out of them. I've had these for over a year. It's my first pair of Extra Tough ones, and they have held up I still have tread on these.
Do they have arch support in them?
They do. They do, yeah. They're not just flat either.
Where can you buy those?
Sounds like you
Nelson's. Yeah, I'm not sure if they have them at Three Lanterns. If
they
you can get them
Skip
there too.
Yes, does have them at Three Lantern. And actually, Extra Tough is has a promotion for the Bluefin Blowout. It's a 25% off for online
I'm
with
going.
A code. it's really great. So I would take full advantage of it. I have mine, and they last.
They're
forever.
Awesome.
Yeah,
they are well built. You know how there's certain things on the blog, and when I say no brainer,
right?
Like, you know, you can 100% right. buy that product at that price, and you're gonna be psyched.
And I
only say no brainer when it's a total no brainer.
Right.
These are a no brainer.
Yeah, I see it.
Just like
Warren's
automobiles.
I see a blog. They'd be great for gardening too.
Fantastic for gardening.
They are, and they have really, really cool designs for the ladies. When you cuff them over, there's like, they've partnered up with some artists that are local to Alaska, and they've created like little octopuses and fish. Really, really cool.
I had no idea. Look at that. Sedalia's breaking news right here.
I know. It's all good stuff. And then I also wanted to let you guys know about some of our other sponsors that will be on site that day. North Shore Magazine is going to be there, not only taking photos, but also sharing that in their next issue. 92.5 The River, we're going to be having them on site on that Saturday during the cornhole tournament. So that'll be fun.
I love them. They're super fun.
Super fun, really trendy. And great station, homegrown, really homegrown. Atlantic Drone One is a local company as well that's going to be doing some drone footage.
Oh God,
and
good
if
stuff.
You actually go onto our Facebook page, the Bluefin Blowout Facebook page, you'll see some of that footage that they've already taken and shared. It's really, really cool. Chamber PG is also local, and they're going to be doing some video footage so that we can share with our sponsors and with the community after the event. And then we get to take a big sigh of relief and drink. So let's talk about Gosling's, which will be donating some product. Tito's as well, Tito's Vodka.
Kate,
Light.
Kate's a big fan.
Big fan of Tito's?
Fan, yeah.
Yeah, Kate. Yeah. And good on calories.
Get gluten-free.
Yeah, gluten-free and good on calories.
Gluten-free.
They're also
making a sizable donation to the Alzheimer's Association.
Yes.
I'm all in on the Tito's. There happens to be two handles in our little wine fridge right now.
Nice. We
little known fact.
Down there in a minute.
Get rid of the wine with the Tito's.
And Bud Light, as well as the Botanist Gin. So I think that covers them all. But again, without the support of our sponsors and you, Joe, for promoting the event, and also Corey from The Bridge, we could not have this be as huge as it is this year. So thank you.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Warren, while I was tending my garden downstairs on the docks.
Your lobster garden.
Kim was asking you some questions. What was the question?
Well, we wanted to hear more about your Great White Conservancy that you're involved with.
Well, I'm just a sponsor of it. And my other home is in Orleans on Cape Cod. And as many know, and it's been covered on many television and news shows, there's a large population of great white sharks that have moved into the waters off of Orleans, Chatham, and frankly the National Seashore. And this conservancy is raising funds to help monitor.
To monitor.
And one of the things they do that's pretty interesting is on Mondays and Thursdays, they go out in a boat, 26 feet, and it has a pulpit on it. And Greg Scomel, who's pretty well known for his efforts in this field, will actually stick, harpoon-like, a radio transceiver to the great whites if he can come across them. And he's working in tandem, like the tuna fishermen who harpoon or stick tuna with a plane overhead. Interesting for local residents that when you see the plane go into a tight circle on the beach, you get out of the water.
Oh, that's interesting.
That means that there's
And unfortunately, it's only on Mondays and Thursdays. So what they're trying to get patterns of behavior, where the sharks go. But around the seashore there, they have monitoring buoys that they download information on monthly, every month, to see the activity of these sharks that have been.
Is this the one that we just talked about this past week?
There was one off of Thatcher's that was spotted.
Well, one of our fishermen hooked them up.
Right.
Cisco.
Yeah.
So that's the same group that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that I think that one was done by Ocean.
Yeah.
Trying to think of their name.
Yeah.
But they had the television show for a while on Discovery or Nat Geo. So in any event, that's one effort that, or another effort we're involved in.
Wow, that's super exciting though. How interesting. Mm.
There's some big great whites down there.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I mean, I think they tagged one a few years ago, 17 feet.
Wow, the one off of Gloss was only 8 feet.
But you know what's amazing about them?
That's
a
big difference.
They don't grow just long. They go.
They grow wider too? Oh.
They're big.
And then their
portly
mouth grows wider too.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of seal. The seal population has exploded, so there's a lot of feed for them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of feed for them.
The seals are,
Speaking of conservation efforts, watch this segue. We spoke about this. Art and
science.
Science and Ocean Alliance and Snotbot and Rocky Neck. It's just a whole ball
together.
Of good stuff right there, right? All coming together.
Yeah, really.
We introduced you in the beginning of the show. Nathan Wilson is the first Ketterman Artist Residency Fellow through the Rocky Neck Artist Colony, and you're working in collaboration with Ocean Alliance, which is that where the old paint factory was. And why don't you explain what your residency is all about and what your and how this one is different from all the different residencies in the past?
Well, from what I understand, the residencies in the past were mostly painters, mostly people who do small scale works in the studio or plein air painting. Mm-hmm. This residency is working a little bit more with the community, hence my collaboration with Mark. And I'm building a site specific sculpture on the Ocean Alliance grounds that addresses ocean preservation, habitat preservation, species preservation. And I will be making a sculpture of the great auk.
And how do you spell auk?
A-U-K.
A-U-K.
Yep.
And it's extinct, right?
It is an extinct species that went extinct in the mid-1800s.
Okay.
And the last breeding pair were killed off Iceland, I believe. There's a very well-documented case, and they interviewed the people who did it.
Wow.
So it's in modern history. We have a lot of literature about it, and it's also one of the earliest species that had laws passed to preserve it, dating back to at least the 16th century.
Wow. And these people killed it. What happened to
and
them?
It still got killed.
Anything happened?
they were hired by I believe a Danish
collector
who wanted he wanted the
stuff from bastard.
Well, at the time
it was the only pair left.
As they became more and more rare, unfortunately, museums and collectors wanted them for their collection, and they wanted their beautiful big speckled eggs. And they made it for life, and they only laid one egg a year, and it was on the raw rocks, so it was really easy to find. So it's just a convergence of human interaction across the North Atlantic, and the species that was really easy to catch and provided a lot of fuel for fire, mm-hmm. provided warmth through its feathers.
How big were they?
They're only about 33 inches high, and they weighed about 10 or 12 pounds when they're adults. But compared to the little auk, they're giant. There's a smaller auk that's still around that is related to them, but their closest relative is the razorbill.
Okay. I've interviewed many of the residents, you know, and they would have, you know, there are a lot of beautiful, wonderful painters. There are a lot of amazing painters around here, but for you to get it to be selected for the residency program, and they have a lot of people applying.
Right.
You have got to be doing something very, very special. So what very special thing and what is the message through that you feel that the reason that they selected you?
That's a good question. I applied for the fellowship in particular to work with the Ocean Alliance, and part of that was to propose a way in which you wanted to interact with the Ocean Alliance to help promote their message and to help promote environmental protection. So my project in particular was to bring attention to the extinction of a species as well as the current pollution in the oceans by making the sculpture out of all materials that I've found, well, beach combing in the area.
Marine debris.
Yes, and just from a week of being up here, at first I was very scared that I wouldn't be able to find enough material.
Not so unfortunately.
But I'll tell you, every day, every rock has a different
collection,
amalgam, of different debris in it. And I found bags from Spain. I found giant pieces of foam, and this is all stuff that breaks down into tiny particles. And you can probably talk more about that. And it gets into our food. And so part of it was to bring attention to, hey, you as an individual can help clean up the beaches, but this is really an issue that we have to address together, and we have to address it at a global level, or we're not going to have this ocean left.
On a small scale level, just recently, City Councilor Melissa Cox, along with, who were the other councilors that proposed the no plastic?
No plastic bags.
No plastic bags at the supermarkets. Yeah. You know those.
Yeah.
Those disposable bags, and
did it pass? I can't remember.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
They were working through the things, but I mean, some of the, you know, the other thing is, I'm glad Warren brought me a nice paper cup here with my coffee in it. But styrofoam, the Dunkin' Donuts, like when you see the streets, the things that you see most often, plastic bags and styrofoam cups, and the styrofoam cups, like in the parking lot, like what, you know, we do big cleanup in the spring. It's an ungodly amount of paper cups. Plastic cups that don't break down.
And the styrofoam's the worst,
right? The styrofoam's the worst. It just doesn't go away. And I'm sure. So when you're collecting, here's a little hint. The wind. You know, because like if we get a southwest, if we get a wind, you know, this harbor is conducive to certain types of wind. Yeah. When there's certain types of wind, like we are all the way in the South Channel here. At the very end, on a certain type of wind, you're going to have unbelievable collection of, flotsam and jetsam?
Flotsam and jetsam.
And then when you have the opposite direction, it blows it out of the harbor into the ocean, and it's this pristine, clear space. But if you're there on the right, on the wrong, or right, depending on how you're looking at it, the time, it could look really, really terrible, or not as bad.
Yeah. But sometimes you just look out your window out there and you see like 30 or 40 plastic bottles just floating.
Yeah, and you would think that this particular space is an unbelievable thing, but then it blows the other way and it's not here. So, how high is the? And is this how visible is your installation going to be?
You should be able to see it from a boat going in the Inner Harbor of Gloucester.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I built a little platform that's up above some timbers that they had from the paint factory out in the parking lot. And I'm building about 7 feet up the actual auk itself. And it'll be made out of all found materials and trash. And maybe it won't look exactly like people think an auk should look, but it will
represent an auk.
It'll represent the auk, and more than that, it hopefully will bring attention to the artist residency, the Ocean Alliance, and just that there's so much trash out there. You can pick up a bag every day and do it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And it'll help, you know.
There's a lot of groups. We have Donna Artizzoni's group, one of our contributors. They have the 1 hour at a time gang. Every Saturday, they get together and they pick a section of Gloucester, and the city sponsors. They give them the yellow trash bags, they you wouldn't imagine, you can't imagine how much they fill up, and then the city lets
Clean
you
Gloucester,
know.
Right?
Clean Gloucester,
yes. Which Amy Carr is in love.
Yeah,
with.
Amy, right? Yeah, she's a yeah. She, well, Amy and Donna, really, they work together.
They're always together.
Huh? No, well, Donna Vio too, but Donna Artizzoni and Donna Vio, but
and also Patty Amaral. She's
Patty Amaral. A lot of there's a lot of concerned citizens. Yeah. The awareness is, but this is more of a ocean based awareness. And Mark, how did you guys get involved with it?
Well, again, another good question. We're trying to develop an art and science program, so. You know, so people understand different languages, and we look at art as a, we see art as a language. And with what Nathan is creating here, I think it's going to really draw attention. It's going to bring the visible attention, because people only pay attention to what they see right now. I mean, you can look at what happened in Haiti with the disaster they've had there, all the different world disasters. People respond immediately. He's going to have his sculpture up. It's going to be there all month long. Mm. I don't know when it's going to be completed or if he's just going to continue on with it for the entire month.
The 24th is supposed to be completed.
Okay, so, but it's going to keep that constant message. In my opinion, it's going to be that constant message. And it brings about, you know, he's got, there's going to be some information available on the gate. Kathy Archer, the program director, is going to have one of those real estate boxes there, so you can pull out a brochure and read more about it.
Mm.
And
if Kathy Archer is involved in it, it's fantastic, right? Because
she's
an awesome woman.
Yeah, she's
the doer.
Yeah.
So where can people get information about it? Like, you know,
like when, is there going to be a party or
we're
like a get together?
Yeah, we're not having a. Well, you're doing a talk, aren't you?
I believe on the 24th I'm supposed to be doing the talk for the closing of the, or the completion of the sculpture.
Are you going to do it at the Cultural Center?
No, I gave a talk last week at the Cultural Center just about my personal work before this, and this will be direct, I believe, on site.
Okay.
And hopefully...
July 24th.
Yes, and hopefully everything goes right. It will also be visible at night because it will have a light component.
Oh,
so,
wow,
surprise!
Wow.
So kind of echoing some of the lighthouses in the area.
Oh wow! How cool is that?
So, do I have to tell you that your assignment that you have here?
I'm gonna stop by this week, and can I take some pictures of it?
Is there a gate there that you can't get to it, or
you
can
know,
you get to it?
It's private property, but we keep it open.
Okay.
So we welcome visitors all the time.
Well, Kim is always looking for content for the blog.
Yeah, I'm always
so
down here.
So it would be really nice for her to kind of keep up with the, you know, the progress of it, and
sure.
and actually it also would act to put it in front of people.
Right.
Yeah, you can contact us directly at Ocean Alliance, or probably Nathan. I don't know how they would contact you directly.
Why don't you give Kim your cell phone number or something like that?
Or you can just email me, or it's Nathan Thomas Wilson, just like it sounds, at Gmail.
Okay.
You're not going to get any spam from that at all.
Oh, no. I already get plenty of
them. Oh, sure.
Tough to change it now.
Well, thank you so much. Anything you want to add?
If anybody has... debris, large tarps, foam, large boards, things like that they want to bring down from cleaning up their own
just
property.
Back up the truck at Ocean Alliance and
then
don't forget to bring that truck back.
Yeah. And then at the end you got to come get it. We'll dispose of it properly at the end. Hopefully,
it sounds like since it's made out of non-biodegradable objects, it could be there for a while, perhaps. Could it be there for a while?
Just like it is in the ocean.
Right. Could it stay there for a while?
It could. My understanding is it's supposed to come down at the end of the month, but, you know, we'll see what the Ocean Alliance
thinks. It will have to come down because we're having another event in September, a Schoonerfest weekend. We're doing something with the Trident Gallery.
Oh.
This will be the second year. It's a fundraising art event. Also, trying to promote the arts and sciences.
Very cool.
Art and science as a program.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, All right, we are. How many days in on the on Plover Watch?
17 days. Before that, I mean, I've been monitoring them for about 6 weeks before that, so I've been filming them every day because they deposited their eggs. And typically,
28 days was it?
Well, they sit. Oh, the literature says 24 to 28 days, but our plovers took 32. Okay. So, you know, I think we had a little stretch of cold weather. Also, I think people just sometimes I feel like people just, you know, they might have read that somewhere.
And it just gets repeated.
And just gets repeated over and over and over again. Because I'm filming.
You find that a lot.
I do.
Because, you know, you are on the ground and intensely observing a lot of different birds and stuff like that. And you read stuff from the, in quotation marks, experts that keep, who keep, you know, and you just say, this isn't, and I understand, and I know how you are. You get really frustrated with people. It's, and you can't contain yourself.
Well,
and you love
to.
I know.
No,
and I understand why. But like, sometimes, like, someone will say, oh, you know, they'll speak like they know about this certain thing, and you have completely different firsthand knowledge, and they don't, and they're trying to tell you, and I see, the like, your face, like, you just want to explode, and then oftentimes I tell you, you got to let it go, because these people are going to hate you, and you just have, but then you want the right information to get out there, but, like, sometimes you just have to.
I try very hard to just present things as they, like, the facts. You know what I mean? Like, the facts.
I know how it must be frustrating for you.
People are, like, even today, like, we had a run-in with a DOG person.
DOG. There's children. Our audience members are children. Go ahead.
With just the most cutest, adorable puppy, but her words to me were, well, my 25, she didn't say 25 pound, but my puppy would be afraid of a little piping plover. And I'm like, oh my God, a 25 pound puppy is not going to be afraid of a marshmallow running on the beach. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's just really hard. So, but the piping plovers are down to one.
Oh.
Yeah.
When did that happen? We were just two yesterday.
We were two yesterday. And so I feel like it's two very strong possibilities. So one thing that does, that I've read, that kills them is storms. So very strong storms. And first we had that one deluge, and then about 2 hours later we had another one. So they probably just barely, I mean, this could be, that could be one thing. Because they, you know, they can't thermoregulate yet, so they have to, all those photographs that I have of them running under mom and pop is, the pop and the mom have this wonderful patch of warming feathers. It's called a brood patch, and that's where they're snuggling under. And they can't be out in the elements for more than 20 or 30 minutes on their own. So that could be that. But also there was a giant crow kerfuffle in the enclosure when I got there this morning at 5.
Mm.
There were crows in there eating garbage. So if there's one thing that I would like to convey to people about, two things, garbage, the garbage on the beach, and when people bury garbage, like I've even filmed crows unburying garbage.
Mm.
You know, they're super smart birds.
Yeah. Oh, they really are.
They're really smart.
They're like next level, like intelligence. The crows are, yeah.
No, they really are. So. And then it was crows and the parents that I saw battling this morning. So I don't know what happened prior to when I got, because people think that, oh, well, the birds are not feeding. Piping plovers feed at night as well. I don't think people understand that. They also feed at night. So, but anyway, so the main thing people should understand, because, for example, the woman on the beach this morning, she was like, well, we're down here by the shore. And I said, the plovers are feeding from the very edge of the sandy dunes all the way down to the shoreline. Anywhere in between is where they're running. So it's hard enough with humans, but with dogs as well. Dogs, you know, dogs just, it's not the dog's fault.
No,
the
no.
dog is just being a sweet little dog,
yeah.
running and getting exercise. That's what dogs love to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So. So anyway,
it is a busy.
Yes, it's the busiest.
It's a
beach.
Busy big part of tourism beach that,
right.
like I read, Ken, one of Ken's tweets I think it was, and you know, or part of the journal of the, you know, the Google Doc.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and like the rhetoric kind of was, you know, the evil beach girl kind of,
no,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
Like I know that he probably doesn't intend for it to come off that way.
No, but
that's the way I kind of read it.
Right.
And you don't want that because if the public senses that what you are trying to go towards is a shutdown of the beach,
right,
so that the plovers can keep coming,
then
people will flip out.
Right, and that's a I honestly think that's a terrible idea anyway, because the plovers are going to keep, once they start nesting like this, they're going to keep on coming, and we're not going to close down our beaches for months at a time. But we can make, do a year-round effort that not only helps the plovers, but if we just kept the garbage off the beach, it would help the environment, it would keep the crows and the gulls.
Yeah.
I'm filming over at Coffins Beach as well, and it's completely different. There is maybe two or three seagulls on the whole entire beach, because those seagulls are just eating like seagull stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're just catching a little crab, throwing it down, and chowing down on it. So there's just a few. There's not hundreds of them. There's not. I've never even seen a crow on Coffins Beach, to be honest with you. They're just there for the garbage, and the garbage and all the plastic debris is very, very harmful to our environment on so many levels.
It absolutely is. Do you think, here's the question, do you think that like a knowledge-based or an information-based program to, like, is it surmountable? You know what I mean? Like, there are so, you can reach the massive amounts of people?
Yes. Do you know what? For example, because just from the stuff that we've been posting, and one of our readers, and I posted it,
mm-hmm,
I think it was Pam Poulin, suggested it to me on Facebook. She said,
Pam Poulin would know about crows.
Well,
because our neighborhood, she lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, she does. No,
and believe me, like, it's crow central, like right where she is.
Well, she wasn't about that. It was about plastic bags. She said at Hampton Beach,
mm-hmm,
they distribute, when you drive it, pull into Hampton Beach, they hand you a plastic bag. And I brought that up in a couple of posts and credited Pam. And now, from what I understand from Catherine this morning, they're now distributing plastic bags because...
making an impact.
That does make an impact.
Absolutely.
Because people will have a bag with them. They won't... You know what I mean? So even if they stuff all their trash in the bag and then they still leave it there, at least it's contained in a bag that can then go into a trash barrel or whatever. You know what I mean? So... I do think it is possible, but I never used to think this, but we do need some trash barrels.
Well, you've been beating that drum for a couple weeks
now.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, 3 years ago, I believed in carry in, carry out, and I still believe in carry in, carry out, but we also need a few trash barrels. There's just, like, every day I could post a picture from the footbridge of Good Harbor Beach where there is supposed to be, where you would logically think there's a trash barrel. Instead, there's Styrofoam and McDonald's.
You should do it. You should post a picture.
I have one right now.
No, but you should post it on a daily basis. Your daily
Good
Harbor Beach footbridge photo.
I did put that as a caption, but I was thinking, why not just do it every single day? And
this is what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is this. You're there every morning, right?
Right.
You can do. I'm giving you permission.
Right.
Your daily photo, your morning, daily morning photo from the Good Harbor Beach
footbridge.
Right? And you just, and don't try to, don't, like, take it from the same vantage point so they can't, like, accuse you of, like, anything else.
Photoshopping.
Or Photoshop, you know, the thing. Just take it so that, you know, and maybe that message will come across.
Resonate.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
can you imagine being a resident there? And then this was almost comical last year. I might have mentioned this to you before, I don't know. But I was standing there filming the crows eating the trash at Good Harbor Beach, because that's going in the documentary. It's not going to be negative about people or anything. It's just what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm standing there filming. I look up, and a man drives up, opens up his car window, and lets out a huge loaf of bread right in the middle of the street on Nautilus Road. So I said to the man, oh gee, why did you just do that?
And he said, the crows need to eat too. And I was like, I didn't say anything. You know, what can I say?
Well, he does. But, you know, so people, some people don't know. You know, they don't,
know.
He obviously doesn't know.
He doesn't know, right?
And that's, you know, he isn't trying he thinks he's doing a wonderful thing.
He thinks he's helping the crows.
Right, just like
and the crows don't need any help.
Crows are doing just fine. Crows are proliferating. Crows are they are getting after it. I feel the same way. How many times can we beat this drum? So very simple. My solution was the anti thing is that we don't have the money or you can't take the money because this ungodly tons of money comes in. To the beach, through the
thin
air. But the thing is, we can't use that money to remove the trash because that goes into the general fund. So we hear this all the time.
Right.
So you can't touch that money. But to me, it's ridiculous. My solution is because this time of year the DPW is extremely working very.
Also, I do want to just say this before you say that, while you've brought up the DPW, when the DPW comes at 7, suddenly the beach looks beautiful. You know what I mean? Because they're working so hard and they do an amazingly awesome job, but they're not there at midnight.
Yeah.
So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, my solution was to, you know, I don't think that many people would argue if you raised the fee for people to come by a couple bucks, and a couple bucks on each of these cars would pay. So to incentivize to have either a group or the pay the DPW guys if they want to work overtime or something like that, time and a half to do this, or get in Black Earth Compost guys or something. You know what I mean? Like some auxiliary company.
Right.
They carve out that money for that purpose. And I don't know that anybody has a problem.
Right, I don't think anybody would.
I think that's an overwhelming political win.
Right, right, you're right.
Don't you think?
Right, yes, 100%.
So there's one baby plover left.
Yes.
What's the game plan going forward?
So we the volunteers are volunteering like crazy.
Unbelievable outpouring of support.
Yes, of support. It's been wonderful. And so they're there now, and hopefully we can just keep that last little one alive. It's not too far from... So typically the success rate is 1.5. And out of 4, so even if we have one survive, that would be miraculous and wonderful. So,
who are some of the people that have been donating their time?
Carolyn Haynes, Hazel Hewitt. She's wonderful. She's the one who's making all the flyers for the little flyer updates to show people what the plover looks like. Ryan's, Charles, George, Cliff, and Catherine,
The Kings.
Right. Yeah.
Ryan's and the Kings.
Yeah, the Ryan's and the Kings. Yep. Yeah. And a gentleman named Paul Korn. I can't think of everybody. I put it in a list.
Okay.
The update yesterday.
Great.
So letting everybody know the names of the people who are on our Piping Plover email. Volunteer group. So,
nice.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you to everybody. It's really.
I love the updates. I'm a fan of the at Glosta, Glosta Plover Twitter account.
Yeah.
I think that Catherine's
been
doing.
Catherine's doing a good job. Really good.
I want to go through a couple things that I thought were really interesting. The Cape Ann Power Yoga has been doing at Gloucester Maritime Center, they're doing yoga on Sunday mornings. It's too late right now, but they're doing it every Sunday morning, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Outdoors,
awesome.
Cape Ann Power Yoga.
Right there on the dock.
Right on the dock there, Harriet Webster Pier.
Wow.
Very cool, very cool.
Fun.
I thought this was cool. This, you know, I'm a big fan of the Serenity Group Rewards Card.
Yes, yeah.
Like every month, they give you free food. Free food and me go together like... I love that. So I think this is really brilliant. So if you have your, and you're carrying your Serenity Rewards card around with you anyway,
right?
You can use it as a punch coffee punch card at Happy Belly.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
So it's like great. Kill two birds with one stone.
Right.
But we don't want to kill any birds, though. No bird killing.
Back up.
No bird killing. FIA's Women's Center is offering a free class to first-time customers. Click on the link that I'm providing in the show notes and do that. Now, we're going to wrap up by talking about probably the most important, because as much as we love animals, we love humans more than animals.
We love human babies more.
Yeah. Baby Charlotte, update.
Well,
Baby Charlotte is
2 weeks late.
And who is she?
Oh, Baby Charlotte is my son Alex and his lovely girlfriend Jessica's baby. I've been calling her my daughter-in-law. I know they're getting married at some point, but
it's just easier. It's always awkward. Like Kate and I are not officially engaged, but I introduce her to everybody as my wife but you should probably ask Alex, but
right.
You know,
yeah,
and I'm sure he would probably be like, whatever.
Right, because I feel like, well, anyways, but so they, their little baby was due June 26th, and so I think the doctors today don't allow people to go past 2 weeks. So tomorrow is the 2 week date. So she's already been going to the hospital and getting various things, you know, to maybe give the baby a little push out, but she's staying in there. So I think she's either coming this afternoon or tomorrow.
I love this baby already. You want to know why I love this baby?
What?
Take a guess why I love this baby.
I don't know.
You know why?
Oh, because she's named Charlotte.
Because she didn't mess up our podcast today. Love this baby. And it'll be even...
What did you say to me last week? You said, okay, now she can come any day next week, just not on Sunday.
Well, I was hoping that she'd come like right after we taped it so that there'd be enough space in between for the next podcast you'd be able to come in.
Well, now there will be, right?
Yeah.
Because if she comes today or tomorrow, then... and she's having it right over at the Beverly Birth Center. So, you know, we can just run over there.
How selfish is that? That's all I'm concerned about.
No,
that's not all I'm concerned about. I'm so excited for you. You're going to be the best grandma. I don't picture you as a grandma, though.
I've been planning on being a grandmother since I was like 2 years old because I had wonderful relationships with... I had three grandmothers growing up because my father came from a divorced home. So I had three wonderful grandmothers, but especially my mother's mother. She was just an extraordinary woman, and I'm just...
Well, my daughters, from an early age, loved hanging out with you. You are built for grandma stuff.
And I've been saying to my kids since they were very little, when I'm an old grandma and I live next door, I can take care of the babies while you go to work. I've really been saying
Be careful what you wish for.
No, but like, you know, I think Jessica wants to go back to school and stuff like that. So we're here.
You'd be very close with the baby that way. So rewarding, like especially as they get older and you have that bond with them.
I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled for both of them because this has been a very stressful pregnancy for Jessica, and she's just been a model of grace under pressure.
Oh,
and
very
really,
sweet.
Very sweet. And my son, I have to say, I'm very proud of my son. He has just come...
You were ready to forget about him. If it was Liv that was pregnant, you'd be talking about her for 45 minutes.
But I want to say my son is... I mean, the woman is carrying the baby, but he is like Mr. Supportive.
Very, very cool. All right, well, I think that's it for us.
So next week when you see me,
next week you can be a grandma. I can't wait. As soon as this happens, you have to let me know, and you have to let me know where everything's going down so we can send flowers.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And well wishes from the Good Morning Gloucester community. I'm sure everybody's going to reach out.
Anything else?
You know, I'm going to leave it there. I had a couple other topics. We'll leave it for next week, though.
Okay, we had a great group today, didn't we?
I mean, have we, this thing, really, you know, Brad Hall from Saturday Night Live, that was a monster guest.
That was awesome.
I think he might have been my favorite guest of all times.
I think you guys had a nice rapport.
Old white guy rapport.
Oh my God. I
feel sorry for all you old white guys. You're getting a lot of grief, right?
We have been getting a lot of grief for a while. And I kind of put, when I say that, people, you know, might think it's just poking fun of the, you know, the stereotype that's out there. Every, you know, old white guy is, you know, just,
you know, if Tom and I get
done,
fight,
just done.
I say something terrible to him if we get into a fight. I'll say, oh, you're acting just like your classic old white guy.
There you go. No stereotypes there, is there?
Right.
All right, Classic Cast 232 is in the books. Thanks, Kim.
All right, thanks, Chuck.
Good luck, baby Charlotte. Thank you.